May the Lord help us to commence this evening by singing part of hymn 814. We'll commence at verse 5. God in his scriptures to reveal, his will has condescended. What there is said he will fulfil, though man may be offended. 814, commencing at verse 5.
From the Holy Word of God, let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, in the book of Genesis, reading part of chapter 11. The book of Genesis, chapter 11, reading the first 9 verses. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make bricks, and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto the heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence, upon all the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Let us read some verses in the Acts of the Apostles. And chapter 2. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. And we'll read the first 21 verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, and Elamites, and the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour and of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So may the Lord bless the reading of his holy and sacred word unto us each. And may he now help us in prayer. O thou almighty, eternal and gracious God, thou that art the heavenly Father of all those that are thine, Lord, those that have been called by thy grace out of nature's darkness into thy most marvellous light. O Lord, do lighten our darkness, the hardness, the unbelief, the sinfulness of our own hearts. For we are not worthy, Lord, to call upon thee, for we are sinners. But we plead that precious name of thine only begotten Son, the Lord, the Saviour, Jesus Christ, made a little lower than the angel, for the suffering of death, that the sins of thy people may be put away. O Lord, we pray to be counted in that number for whom Christ died. Lord, do not let us continue in our lives unconcerned concerning this vital knowledge. Lord, our desire is to be confirmed as one of thine, sinners, but saved by grace. Lord, hear the prayers of each one before thee in this place this night. Lord, is not this a house of prayer? Then, Lord, those hearts poured out before thee that plead for thy mercy, for thy saving grace, for the knowledge of their soul's salvation. Then, Lord, we pray thou wilt impart it to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Convince of sin, lead to Jesus' blood, and speak pardon and peace unto those needy ones. Lord, whatever our age, from the youngest to the eldest, O Lord, we do pray, Lord, that none of us shall be left out of those who come to know thee as their soul salvation. Lord, we ask thy blessing upon thy word as it is preached here, as it is written, as it is read here, that which is written. O Lord, we have read a small portion of it this night. Thou didst say thy word would not return unto thee void, but it would accomplish that which thou doth please, and it would prosper in the thing to which thou doth send. Lord, may this evening be such an occasion when it is thy word, when it is thy voice, when it is thy spirit, when it is thy power. And so affect us, Lord, in our hearts to the blessing of our souls, that we do not go empty away. Lord, may we even go on our way rejoicing, knowing that thou hast been mindful of us and we are thine, and thou art ours. Remember any, Lord, unable to be here tonight, who would be here if we could, if they could. Lord, we commend them to thee for whatever the reason. Lord, if any are sick, oh, we pray thou wilt draw near. And Lord, do grant thy healing touch, O can it be thy will, and bless all medication that is applied. Some, Lord, may have medical appointments. Lord, we do pray thou wilt bless those things, not just for the body, but also for the good of the soul. Lord, do remember any that are detained by business, their duties, responsibilities, the care of the little ones, the children. Lord, watch over them and preserve them in thy loving care, the children themselves. Oh, do bless them abundantly. Lord, put thy hands upon them to bless them, and thine arms about them to keep them from the powers of evil that are so strong in this evil day. Lord, those that are at school, those that are taught things, Lord, that are contrary to thy truth, Lord, we pray thou wilt give them that spirit to know what is right, what is wrong. Keep them to that which they are taught in the courts of thy house, and at home by their loving parents. And bless the work of the Sunday school here. Lord, that many a good thing is done for the guidance, for the strengthening and help of the children. Oh, Lord, do keep them from Satan's power, and do not let them become affected by compromise and whatever it is, Lord, that would take them away from thy word of truth. Lord, bless the young people who face so many enticements these days. Lord, we do pray thou wilt keep them also steadfast in the faith. Lord, kept by the teaching of thy Spirit and the blessing of their souls of redeeming love. Oh, do shed abroad in their hearts the love of Christ by the Holy Ghost given to them, and lead them forth in the right way in all their duties, their responsibilities, the changing scene so much at that time of life, new duties, friendships, acquaintances, the marriage bond, the bringing up of children. Oh Lord, we pray for them, that thou wilt be their guide, and thou wilt be their deliverer from all that may rise against them. And Lord, may they be able to say when tempted, as Nehemiah said, so did not I, because of the fear of God. Lord, we each need that same Spirit to keep us steadfast to the truth, lest we should bring dishonour and disgrace upon thy holy word and upon thy cause of truth. Lord, never let us deny thee, but, oh, make us true witnesses of the good hope thou hast put within us of eternal life. Lord, may we walk in love one to another. For we know, as the word says, thou hast passed from death unto life, in that thou hast loved the brethren. So, Lord, we pray thou wilt rule in our hearts by thy Spirit, and lead us forth in the right way. Keep us in the narrow way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Be with our loved ones, wherever they may be, near or far. Lord, watch over them and keep them in thy care. Lord, if any have no desire to know thy special grace unto their soul, oh, do not let them stray beyond the bounds of thy love. But, Lord, we pray thou wilt call them by thy grace. Set the knowledge of thy Son within them. We ask thy blessing upon the ministry here. Lord, those that are engaged to come, Lord, do speak through them. Make them the messengers in thy message. And Lord, we pray that thy word through them, thy word through them, may be confirmed with signs following. Lord, unite the church before thee in their humble desires and humble prayers for thine honour and for thy glory. Oh, can it be thy will, Lord, provide a settled ministry here. Thou knowest the exercise of each heart. And Lord, can it be thy will, prepare one, raise one up, whom thou wilt use to the honour and glory of thy name. To the blessing, Lord, of each soul that attends here and more, as the days go on. O Lord, we pray for a gracious prosperity, a godly, gracious, spirit-taught increases to the Church of Christ here and upon the earth. Lord, do bless and help the deacons in their labours and their duties, and all that assist them in the material things of this building, and for all to be done in order for the worship of thy name. O Lord, do grant those showers of blessing, that they know it is not in vain that these things are done to the honour and glory of thee. Lord, we do pray thou wilt maintain our liberties of worship in this evil day. Lord, we are not worthy that thou shouldst hear our prayers, for we are sinners, but we plead for Christ's sake. We seek to ask in his name, Lord, that all may be done to the honour and glory of the name of Christ and of the name of God. Lord, may there still be in our nation, Lord, many a place where thine honour dwells. Lord, deliver us from the powers of evil and of Antichrist that have risen up so strongly in these later days. And Lord, we fear what might come to pass. But our eyes are upon to thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. And ours, Lord, is an urgent, pressing case. Do not turn away thy face. O Lord, we pray. Thou wilt give wisdom to our Parliament, to our Prime Minister, as they meet at this time and in the coming days regarding the things of Europe. Lord, do give them unity that is of thy will. And may the outcome of it all, Lord, be the fervorance of the gospel, the liberty of thy worship in our land. And thou shalt have all the honor and all the glory. Lord, we pray for the Trinitarian Bible Society, for whom the collection for the benefit of them is here tonight. Lord, help them in their work continually. Lord, as they labour, at times wondering, Lord, if they can continue in time to come. Lord, we pray thou wilt help them. All those that are appointed to serve in that society. Lord, may they know the influence and power and unity of thy Spirit. And may all that is published through them be owned and blessed by thee in our own nation and through the nations of the world. Lord, that many that read those sacred scriptures may be blessed with the power of thy Spirit, that they may become, Lord, the saints of God, thy people, Lord, taught by thy Spirit, with a good hope of eternal life. So, Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word amongst us. May it be a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. May we find it as the bread of heaven, food for our never-dying souls to be partaken of in faith. And so, Lord, strengthened, we look unto Jesus, the author, finisher of our faith. And so may it be so now, Lord, as we sing further thy praises. And when we turn to thy word, oh, do come and open it up. May the words of these my lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 31. A form of words, though e'er so sound, can never save a soul. The Holy Ghost must give the wound and make the wounded whole. Hymn number 31.
Thank you.
Dear friends, before coming directly to the Word of God, this being a special service for the collection for the Trinitarian Bible Society, I would just briefly outline a few things concerning the Trinitarian Bible Society as of today. Of course, their work to distribute the Word of God to all the nations of the world continues. And of the order of 40 translation projects are currently in hand, some of them brand new, and some of them revisions of older translations. But just recently, a new translation has begun, well, a revision really, in the Bulgarian language. It's amazing how the Lord raises up these things to come to pass. A Bulgarian came to live in Ireland in 1998 at the age of 25. He wasn't a Christian, but he came converted to the Christian faith in 2005 when in Ireland. He attended various churches and was in contact with various versions of the scriptures. But he didn't find any that drew him so faithfully to the Lord as when he read the King James Authorized Version. He found many of the others were biased towards self-will, Arminianism. Excuse me. In 1871, there was a version, a good version, a translation of the Bible in the Bulgarian language, but it's very rarely used today. Since then, the alphabet used in Bulgarian language has changed somewhat, and so have the words. And so this man, now in his 40s, nearly 50, is working on a new translation, a revised translation of the 1871 Bulgarian Bible, updating it to the language that people today can understand, and is using the King James Authorized Version also as a basis to help him in the meaning of the translation from Hebrew and from Greek. Last year, the Trinitarian Bible Society attended a Christian publications event in Holland, and they came into contact with a group of people who distribute the Word of God. Their name is called Voice of Hope. Although they're both German and Dutch in their work, their title is in English, Voice of Hope. And they distribute scriptures to Afghanistan, which is 100% Muslim. And if you're found to be a Christian there, you're immediately put to death. Also to Kazakhstan, where there's greater than 50% Muslim population. But thankfully, 15,000 Bibles were recently delivered there through the goodness of God. Amazing passing of this lorry of Bibles through the customs. And through Kazakhstan, Bibles are smuggled into Afghanistan. Also in Sicily, they distribute in Sicily because there are a lot of boat people, those who've come across in great distress from Africa, from Libya. And they have apparently such a hunger for the Word of God. And they're being given Bibles. And in their refugee camps, they're being taught by this group called the Voice of Hope. Something they're receiving that they would never have received if they'd have stayed in their own country. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. So here is the Trinitarian Bible Society, who work closely with the Dutch GBS, able to supply Bibles to this group, Voice of Hope, who have an outlet in their missionary work. And they also distribute Bibles in Germany, whose Germany this year has become quite the focus of the 500 years since Luther and his translation of the Luther Bible. But today it's very little used in Germany. They very rarely read the Old Testament. They only read the New. They say, in an extreme way, we don't obey the Ten Commandments. It's in the Old Testament. We are under grace of the New Testament. It doesn't matter what we do. So this group also seeking to distribute a complete Bible to the many churches in Germany. So where there's a publication, there has to be a distribution. And we pray that that distribution will be blessed to those who receive it. At home, here in this country, there's an increase in the release of scriptures in digital format. The Westminster Bible is now available on Kindle. And the Trinitarian Bible Society is seeking to sell Bibles through Amazon. They found many people buy a Bible from Amazon, but there's no authorised version there. So they are making agreements with Amazon that they will also advertise and sell the Trinitarian Bible Society authorised version Bibles through them in the coming year. And there's a new website which some of you may have seen, of which feedback and comment from users is welcomed, so they can develop it fully. Regarding those who work at the Trinitarian Bible Society, some changes are imminent. The secretary of the Society for a good many years, Mr. Paul Rowlands, is intending to retire next year. Mr. David Allen, who's been a deputation speaker for 18 years, is intending to retire next year. The end of next year, should I say. The end of 2018. Of course, he's an unwell man now. It's amazing how he has been upheld to recover, to continue from the cancerous disease he has had. Also, an editorial assistant is leaving to become the pastor of a church in London. So much prayer is requested that the Lord will raise up and provide suitable replacements for these important posts. Financially, the Trinitarian Bible Society is better placed this year than the previous year. And a budget has been set for next year without any dependence on legacies. But that doesn't mean to say they are still not dependent on liberal giving. The warehouse next door, from which there's a dependency on the rent from those who use it, because as we know, when they built the new premises, there were two premises TBS had built, and they rent out the premises next door to a removal company. Well, they have come into financial difficulties. And it's likely to become unoccupied. And then there'll be the loss of the rent, which is very helpful to the Trinitarian Bible Society. So all your financial contributions to the continued work of the TBS are very needful. as so are your prayers. And the Trinitarian Bible Society are very grateful for all your continual interest in their work. Let us come to the Word of God, as we find it in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And may your prayerful attention and the Lord's help be given to us and to me, as we have by way of text verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We live in a world which lies in great wickedness. Oh, how sin seems to abound wherever we look around us. And yet, still today, there is the Lord's mercy. It's of the Lord's mercy the world is not consumed, and we part of it. In spite of the sin of our hearts and our minds, we as great guilty sinners, there is still salvation. There's still a way where poor sinners can be delivered from the wrath of God that is to come. Dear friends, as we read through the scriptures, we find again and again and again a thread of mercy, a thread of grace, a thread of pardoning love towards those that are termed the Lord's people. The Lord has a people whom he will yet bestow his grace and mercy upon and deliver them from their just desert. Not one of us here tonight is not a sinner. Not one who lives in the whole world around us is not a sinner. We may be better in our own eyes than others, but before God we are all the same. As he declares in Psalm 14, God looked down from heaven to behold the children of the earth. They've all gone aside. They've all become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And there you and I lie in our nature tonight before a holy God. And in lying as such, we only deserve, don't we, the outpouring of his wrath, subjects of his solemn judgment. We find the judgment of the Lord poured out from time to time upon the people of this world and upon those whom he calls his own on account of their sin. He poured out his wrath upon all the world in the days of Noah. imagination that the mind of man was continually evil. And yet the Lord had made a promise unto him that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Was all going to be destroyed? All deserved to be destroyed. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Grace. The grace of God. Dear friends, that's the only thing that saves the world and you and I from death, destruction, and despair. There was only those few who were called into the ark, relatively few. Well, there were animals, there were beasts. There was Adam, his wife, his sons, and their wives. To begin again a replenishing of the earth. Dear friends, it didn't come before long, and there was sin there again, wasn't there? You know, when God flooded the world and all was destroyed, in mercy the seed of the crops was not destroyed. It grew again. And although the Lord had great mercy upon Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives, dear friends, the seed of sin was still within their heart. And it soon began to grow again and to blossom and come forth. And as they began to replenish the earth, it wasn't long before they were abounding in sin. We read, didn't we, in Genesis chapter 11, how they only sought to exalt themselves. Oh, the pride of heart. As they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. Let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. Oh, they wanted to glory in their own selves, not in God. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They wanted to continue bound together by their own endeavours, by their own successes, and by their own skills, which they obviously had, to build this city and this tower. Dear friends, can we throw any stones at these people who departed from the worship, the true worship of God? I was reading the other day in Job. Sometimes we read and we've never noticed a word before, and it comes to stand out. Job, in some of his last words to his friend, so-called, in Job 31. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. If I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much. If I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge. For I should have denied the God that is above. I should have denied the God that is above. Glorying in one's own possessions, one's own wealth, one's own achievements, one's own skills, one's own abilities. All that we have in abundance. And dear friends, we have much abundance today, don't we? And if our mouth kisses our hand, oh, we thank ourselves for all that we have gotten. Like the children of Israel, By our own strength have we gotten us this wealth. Then we deny the God that is above, and we are worthy of his judgment. The judgment came here, didn't it, in these early days upon these people. The Lord beheld the people. He says, behold, they are one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. You know, dear friends, the power of self-will, and when it's combined together with others and a united will, our hearts and intentions and our manner of life can be very strong and persuasive, can't it? Trying to do what we believe is for our good, our benefit, determined to go our own way. The Lord said, let us go down and there confound their language. And the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And so they were forced to leave off building the city. Now that judgment remains today, doesn't it? The multitude of languages. People dispersed throughout all the world. Then, dear friends, it will be to the end of time. It's the Lord's judgment on this world because of sin. It's nothing to do with evolution, as some people may try to tell us. God looked down upon this world. It already looked upon it once and destroyed all but Noah and his family. He now looked down upon the earth again and caused this great confusion, where they were strangers one to another and could not understand what each other said. You know, dear friends, when we think of our lives today and upon this earth, the first judgment of God was that by the sweat of our face we should eat bread. We have to labour, we have to work hard. And mothers would have sorrow and labour in bringing forth of children, all on account of sin, of Adam and Eve. And the dispersing of languages and the multitude across the world. And oh, what confusion there can come, and warfares and disagreements and so forth there has been throughout the time, all on account of sin. Therefore, today we can only say, sin is mixed with all we do. We are born in sin. We are shapen in iniquity. There's nothing in and of ourselves that can please God, the Holy God. And yet one generation goes, another generation comes. All to fulfill the purpose of God. That he yet has a people to be saved by his grace. We read here in Acts chapter 2. Of a people of all different tongues, of all different places, coming together to this one place, Jerusalem. And these disciples, blessed by the Spirit of God, declaring the kingdom of heaven and the work of Jesus Christ. And they all heard them in their own mother language, the language in which they were born. Dear friends, these didn't speak in tongues like we find some in various churches today who say they speak in tongues as an evidence of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And they mumble, and as Paul doesn't advise it, where there's no interpreter, and people cannot understand what's being said. Dear friends, these tongues were the tongues which the Lord had given them in the days when he divided the earth. They were real languages, languages of the people, that they should hear the truth as it is in Jesus. Oh, what mercy. They couldn't understand how they could hear. Dear friends, these disciples, blessed with the Spirit of God, spoke as they were led by the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was that divine interpreter in the ears and the hearts of the people that heard them. What a mercy that although there was one man called, at the time after the division of the tongues, and that was Abraham. Abraham had a specific tongue, didn't he? He spoke a particular language. And so did his sons and the sons of Jacob. And the Old Testament scriptures were written in the Hebrew tongue. They became translated by the Septuagint, as a Septuagint, 70 people, into the Latin tongue. And they also, the New Testament was written in the predominant language at the time, which was Greek. So although there was a multitude of languages, the three languages we read of in the scriptures was Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. And do note that across the top of the cross of Jesus Christ, his accusation, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. Dear friends, if the scripture had been contained to just those three languages, you and I would be struggling with them today, wouldn't we? And how many do not even read the scriptures in their own tongue? Therefore, are they without excuse when it comes to a belief in God? The answer to that is no. The scripture tells us of the creation of God. I think it's Psalm 19. There's no language in the earth where their voice, the voice of creation of the stars, the heavens, and the things of the earth, is not heard. The evidence of God is before us each. And Paul speaks of this in Romans. I think it's in the first chapter of Romans, where he says they are without excuse. Evidence of God the Creator is all around us. Oh, how solemn today when so many say there is no God. All has happened, as it were, by chance, over billions of years. They have no excuse, even though they haven't come to the Word of God. The evidence is all around them. But when we do come to the Word of God, how thankful we are that through the mercy of God is raised up the many translators to translate the scriptures from the Hebrew, from the Greek, into the language, our language, and the language of other nations, that it can be read and understood in this day. That's largely the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society, isn't it? How they continue with the work of translation in the various tongues, seeking more and more that they may reach more and more the nations, the people, the kindreds, the tribes of this earth. Well, it's in Mark's Gospel, isn't it? Where Jesus says concerning the Gospel that the Gospel must first be published among all nations. All nations. In every tribe and in every tongue. Every tongue which he has brought to pass through his own work as a judgment. Dear friends, as we have the word of God, it's his mercy. His mercy. Judgment and mercy. Oh, how we should be humbly thankful today that the Lord has risen and granted us those men to live in the Middle Ages to the time of the Reformation, which we've been thinking of so much recently, to translate the word of God into our tongue. And as we receive it and benefit from it in our tongue, how we must pray for the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society to obtain it faithfully, faithful translations in other tongues. But we need more than just the written word, don't we? There are many who read the word of God and it's only read like any other book. They may become skilled in the knowledge of what it contains and in the teaching of what it contains. But they're still dead in trespasses and in sins. Things can be taught and preached from the word, and one can still be dead in trespasses and in sins. Like those who in that last day, as Jesus said, called him Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works. Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Trusting in their own selves, glorying in their own selves what they themselves had done. You've heard me speak of this before, haven't you? Oh, it's a concern that we can be left to a false foundation. There is only one way. There is only one way to eternal life. There's only one way of deliverance from the solemn judgment of God when that solemn day of judgment comes. And that's to have a good hope through grace, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, which alone can blot out our transgressions, which alone can pay the demand of the law of God for sin. That shed blood which alone can cleanse us and make us perfectly clean. No taint of sin within us. Our text says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's first contained in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Joel. And it refers there to those that call upon the name of the Lord are those whom the Lord shall call. You can look up the reference in Joel chapter 2 in your own leisure. They call on the name of the Lord whom the Lord shall call. The sovereignty of God. And dear friends, if it wasn't for the sovereignty of God, none of us would ever rightly call on the name of the Lord, would we? Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, but I shall say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you. What is this difference to those who are called by the Lord? Well, they're called by grace, the grace of God. They found grace in his eyes. They're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're given that desire to know Jesus and him crucified. They're guilty sinners, they're wretched, they're vile, they're undone, they're naked before a holy God, and they have no hope of self, and they come into darkness. Before that time, the darkness of unbelief has been their light. Their own goodness, morally, and their religious life has been their light. But that comes darkness, as it was with the Apostle Paul. The things that he once gloried in, he then counted but dung. Oh, his own righteousness was but filthy rags. He was an unclean thing. Now, dear friends, this is the teaching of the Spirit. Now, Paul, writing to the Romans, refers to the same text. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? Those are searching questions, aren't they? But they're questions which imply their own answer. Those shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved who are taught through the application of the holy word of God. Through the holy word of God, Paul says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that faith is the blessed gift, isn't it? The blessed grace given by the Holy Spirit, sovereignly of God, to affect that heart, to convince it of sin. Oh, the earth, the world, it gives an aching void. It cannot never fill it. And one's desire is to know the pardon of their sins. We may be satisfied with many things that are around us in the flesh. We have to thank the Lord for many things he bestows upon us, doesn't he? But even though we may be blessed with a multitude of earthly blessings, there's this desire within, if it surmounts them as it were all. It's give me Christ or else I die. And it comes through the hearing of the word of God. It comes through the preaching of Jesus Christ. His sufferings, his death. He who came born of that woman, Mary, born of a woman, born of the flesh, the seed of the woman, to pay the price for sin, to be made sin for his people, all the mystery of sin imputed to the Holy Son of God, that his people for whom he died might be made the righteousness of God in him, a complete transformation, a sinner to a Son of God, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Dear friends, nothing can be done, can it, to the salvation of the soul without this teaching, this knowledge, this application of the shed blood of Jesus Christ to the blessing of the soul. And those, dear friends, who are so taught, they call on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord, yes, he has many names. His name is Jesus. Came to save his people from their sins. Emmanuel, God with us. And so we may go through many names. Dear friends, Jesus is God, and the name of God is one full of gracious, long-suffering, merciful. Blotteth out all your transgressions and remembers your sin no more. Oh, dear friends, this calling on the name of the Lord by faith. It's the beginning, isn't it? It's the beginning of your hope of eternal life. It's the foundation that you're a child of God and that your treasure is above, as a place in glory prepared for you. Dear friends, do you know what it is to call upon the name of the Lord? David speaks of it, how he calls out of the depth. He was in the depths when he sinned, wasn't he? Not just once, but again and again. He knew he was worthy of death. And at the time when he was overcome with pride to number the people tempted by Satan, and the Lord's judgment was upon him, he was given those three choices of what should take place, whether famine for 3 years or before his enemies for 3 months, or 3 days under the hand of God. He says, let us fall into the hand of God, for there is mercy. There is mercy. And he called upon the name of his God, and he called upon the name of his Lord, who was merciful and gracious. And the Lord bestowed forgiveness upon him. You know, dear friends, this God is our God. If God be for us, who can be against us? There's many things that seem to be against us. The nature of our sin, dear friends, it is a great burden to a child of God. They will never cease from calling upon the name of the Lord. For only there will they obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus is the one thing needful, as the hymn writer says. I without him perish must. And so those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. The Lord hears their cry. It's his work of grace within their heart. And they come, knowing that dependence, complete dependence upon him for their soul's salvation. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And throughout their lives there's many temptations, there's many fears, there's many enemies that will rise up, many troubles, and it'll stir up your unbelief, it'll stir up your doubts, it'll stir up your fears. And what then shall you do? Well, there's still this throne of grace, isn't there? He that hath begun a good work in you, he'll still perform it. And you'll call upon him, won't you? Crying again for his mercy. And he will deliver you out of all your distresses. Oh, that Psalm 107 is a lovely psalm, isn't it? Got various cases there of the people. There were those who wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way, found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Dear friends, these were seeking souls. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. They that call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. They called upon him in faith, believing that he was able to deliver them out of their distresses. And they were not empty sent away. There were those who sat in darkness in the shadow of death because they rebelled against the words of God. Dear friends, is that you? Have you rebelled against the words of God? The Lord Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Do you claim to love the Lord and yet rebel against his commandments? They contemned the counsel of the Most High. They denied the Lord, their God, turning aside from his word. What a mercy he didn't leave them there. What a mercy if the Lord won't leave you there. What a mercy if the Lord will bring down your heart with labour. And there's none to help. That's a low state, isn't it? Come into great trouble and there's none to help. It may be a sickness. It may be some distress in your family. It may be the loss of your work. You may come to great poverty. Maybe bereavement. But you see, it's the hand of God upon you. Now, friends, the Lord made me redundant when I rebelled against the words of God. There was none to help me, except one. Cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. How did they cry unto the Lord in their trouble? They were unworthy of the least of his mercies. They pleaded the forgiveness of their sin, their rebelliousness. They came humbly. They came contrite. They'd got nothing worthy of his mercy, but they needed it all. And by that faith, oh, the blessed faith given of God through the Spirit, they were drawn there to pour out their heart before the Lord their God. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they were saved. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Well, dear friends, I see the time is going. These things are left on record for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Oh, what thanksgiving we should have today, shouldn't we? For the mercy of our God in giving us the Scriptures of truth, in which is the way of eternal life, and they testify of Jesus. Therefore, dear friends, how we must continue in prayer. Continue in prayer that the Lord will still maintain the provision of his holy word to us. That the Lord will still use the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society to send this word out to all the nations of the world in their various languages, which came about on account of sin. That the Lord will apply the word by his Holy Spirit to our hearts. That the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we can read it and as it is proclaimed, in our own tongues, be in the power of the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. Dear friends, how solemn if we come to the end of our days, and we know all these things concerning the Scriptures, but that Holy Spirit has never, never applied it in power and in effect to our soul. Spirit of truth, that's our prayer, isn't it? Come down. Reveal the things of God. Make to us salvation known. Witness with the blood. For no man can truly say that Jesus is the Lord, except thou take the veil away and breathe the living word. Dear friends, my desire is that will be the case for each one of us. Not only once, but continually. For it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen.
God willing. Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Adrian Pickett on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 1035. Return my wandering heart to thy dear resting place. Nothing in nature nor in art so fair as Jesus' face. 1035.
Do bless thy holy, sacred word of truth to the good of each of our souls. Bless it to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, take away all that may have been of my own self, but what us is of thee, cause it to abide within us and lead us and keep us at the throne of grace. Lord, meditating in thy word of truth, finding, Lord, there the sacred truth as it is in Jesus, in spite of our many sins, that his shed blood cleanseth from all sin, his mercy endureth even forever. So, Lord, ever feed us with thy word of truth. Be with us as we separate. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.